Today's reading is from 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 to 17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let me add to my welcome to everyone that's here this morning, and Merry Christmas to everyone. It's great to see many families reunited from all over the world, I suppose, and wonderful to see each of you here, and I do pray that God will bless your coming here on Christmas morning. Must be difficult for some of the younger ones to be here, eh? So well done to the parents for coming along, and of course I'm especially pleased that my own family is reunited here for Christmas. And if my PowerPoint is slightly better and better quality than normal, then that goes down to thanks to one of my children who helped me. Adult children, I should say. Just as John said, there is an insert in your bulletin. So the reading is there and also the outline. And point two is a blank. So that's to keep you interested and you can fill in the blank. That's your homework. That you've got to stay awake and alert right through until point two at the very least, so you know what I'm going to say about point two. And before I start and look at the scriptures together, let's just pray and ask God's blessing. Lord, we thank you that we're here. We thank you that we can celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus this morning together. And now we ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. My God and my Redeemer. Amen. When we strip away the Christmas trees, the twinkling lights, the brightly wrapped presents, the carols, the mince pies and Santa Claus, what does Christmas mean personally to you? For many, it's a time of family reunion, as I've just said, and that's great and wonderful. It's being with friends, it's bringing and receiving gifts, and it's feeling good. Maybe some words like love, joy, peace, goodwill to all men are words that actually mean something for a day or two. And for Christians, of course, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, so we think about that baby, and we think about mangers and angels and wise men, and shepherds, and stars, and animals. So, it's a bit of a surprise, really, that we're looking at a verse that seems a bit odd, I think, for a Christmas message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And yes, we are concentrating on that bit that says Christ Jesus came into the world, but we will definitely be looking at the bit that says to save sinners as well. So, just getting you ready. In anticipation there for the message. Paul personalizes it by adding the caveat, of whom I am the worst. In other words, I'm the worst of sinners, is what Paul said. And so he certainly personalized the Christmas message. John has already said that we're looking at the Christmas message this year in three words: historical, joyful, and now this morning, personal. So let's put the text up. And there it is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. As we unpack those words, let's ask ourselves these three pretty straightforward questions. Who is the text talking about? To where did he come? And what was his reason for coming? The person, of course, it tells us, is Christ Jesus. It's Jesus, the baby in the manger. He's the son of Mary. His birth was announced by an angel to the shepherds out in their fields. He's the one the wise men came to visit with their gifts. Many of us know that the name Jesus means Savior. So it wasn't a name that was just popular in those days, and so the parents went for the popular name and called him Jesus just because it sounded nice. And Christ, the other title that's here, Christ Jesus, that was full of meaning as well, deeply significant. He was God's promised Messiah. Messiah means anointed one, as Adam told us last Sunday, and he was God's anointed king. And it carried huge political and spiritual significance for the nation of Israel 2,000 years ago. So Christ Jesus is the Savior King, the promised and affirmed by God. That's who he was. To where did he come? Well, it does say he came into the world. Not only was he promised, but he really arrived. This Savior King arrived on earth. It begs the question, where did he come from? And of course, as God's King, he came from outside earth, outside the world, and outside time. Jesus himself gives an answer to that question, where did he come from? He called himself the Son of Man, and he said, I have come down from heaven. So Christians believe that Jesus, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, is God's Son who came down from heaven. He came into our world to be identified with human beings, to be born as a human baby. And then, what was the reason for his coming? Our verse also gives that answer. It says, to save sinners. You know, that phrase, I think, has been said so often and repeated so regularly that it has almost lost its meaning. It just goes right over our heads. Water off a duck's back. It's a cliche. He came to save sinners. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's move on. What does it mean? Well, it is really part of the Christmas story that he came to save sinners. So let's wind the clock back. Let's think about some of the more traditional passages for Christmas. Matthew tells that story. And he tells us that when Joseph was considering what he was going to do about his pregnant fiancée, an angel appeared to him. And the angel said, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Ah. Joseph was told that he was the Savior. And then in Luke's Gospel, when it was the shepherds, they're told by the angel, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so the Christmas story has always been about Jesus the Savior, told by three different writers, Matthew, Luke, and Paul. It's repeated. When the Bible repeats something, it really wants us to get it. Jesus is the Savior. The Bible wants us to know that Jesus came to save us, to rescue us. But of course, that then begs another question. Rescued from what? What are we to be rescued from? Let's just take a step back so we might understand it a bit better. Let's ask ourselves, what do we need to be rescued from? Do you remember these two wonderful rescue missions that took place in the last decade? The first one there is the miners in Chile. The San Jose mine had collapsed, leaving 33 miners trapped underground, 2.5 kilometers almost underground, for 69 days. But they were rescued by a great feat of human ingenuity, and that rescue capsule, they were saved from certain death. And the 12 boys and their football coach last year, freed from the Tham Lung Cave in northern Thailand after 17 days, another amazing rescue mission. They were saved from drowning and from starvation. And of course, as we look around, there's all kinds of things that people want to be saved from. There's circumstances that aren't good and they're not happy about it and makes them really wish someone would come and take them out of it, that they would be rescued. Situations like poverty, famine, wars, disease, epidemics, floods, forest fires, oppressive governments. And then if we bring it down much, much more personal, we think about people in abusive relationships, addictions. Maybe you want to be rescued from a workaholic boss, or a threat of redundancy, or dysfunctional family. And bringing it right down to the individual. There might be some resentment in your life. Wouldn't it be great to be saved from that, rescued from that, or helplessness, anxiety over the future, or just a cycle of despair and panic? If you think about the last year, What word would you use to describe some of the times during the last year, how you have felt? For some, it would be loneliness, fear, insecurity, emptiness, frustration, desperation. They all describe our lives in ways that we know isn't quite right. It's not the way it's meant to be. It's not shalom. There's no peace in our lives. And we want to escape from it. We want to be rescued from it. And so the question is, can we be rescued? And so that brings us back to our text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus' rescue mission is not from caves in Thailand, or from mines in Chile, or from floods, or disease, or overreaching governments, or abusive relationships. It says plain and simply here, Jesus came to rescue us from our sins. But you know, in the 21st century, we've kind of got beyond that a little bit. The word sin is definitely out of favor. When was the last time you heard it in everyday conversation? Some people think that the word is offensive or even disgusting. You only hear it in church or in Bible studies. And nobody thinks of themselves as a sinner, really. Not much, anyway. And you'd be ostracized, if not imprisoned, for calling someone else a sinner these days, in the 21st century, in our modern world. So how do we make sense out of all of this? What is sin? I've recently been doing a course in theology, and this is how the theology course describes sin. As breaking the rules, disobedience, unholiness, guilt, and missing the mark. Well, I think that's kind of okay for theology students, but quite honestly, you're not going to bring any of this up at the Christmas party. And it's not going to be a conversation on the streets. It's just not what we talk about. So I thought today it might be helpful to think more of the consequences of sin rather than a definition of sin, how it affects our world. The effects are all around us. That sense of loneliness that we talked about, or despair, or dislocation, or emptiness, or frustration, or the feeling, as I said, that all is not right with the world. Those are the results of sin. Tim Keller, one of my favorite authors, puts it like this. He says, "I do not define sin as just breaking the rules, but also as making something besides God our ultimate value and worth. These good things, which become gods, will drive us relentlessly, enslaving us mentally and spiritually if we let them." So it's not just breaking the rules, but it's also making something besides God our ultimate value and worth. He then goes on a little bit more. Sin separates us from the presence of God. And so the presence of God is the source of all joy, love, wisdom, or good thing of any sort. We were built to live for God supremely, but instead we live for love, for work, for achievement, for morality, or to give us meaning and worth. But these things enslave us with guilt if we fail to attain them, or anger if someone blocks them from us, or fear if they're threatened, or drivenness since we must have them. Now, I know that's a lot to take in. You really need to sit and meditate on that for quite a while. But let's simplify it down to this. What Timothy Keller is saying is that sin separates us from God. We lose fellowship with God. And secondly, sin enslaves us. We lose freedom within ourselves. If that's true, is it any wonder that we feel alienated and joyless and anxious and insecure and unloved and frustrated? We find our lives aren't the way we expect them to be or want them to be or know that they should be, and we feel that there's something disconnected. We're dislocated. Sin has shattered lives everywhere, and like a broken mirror, it can't be put back together again. Wouldn't it be great if all this could be fixed? What if we knew that we were loved? What if we knew that there was a real purpose in life, in our lives? That we weren't fearful or anxious all the time about our future? That we had a sense of worth? That we really did experience a deep joy? And you know, the Christmas message, above everything else, says that it can be like that. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to rescue us. It means he came to rescue me. The Peanuts character, Linus, I love Peanuts. I'm so sad it's not being produced anymore. But we can go over the old ones. So Linus said, I love mankind, it's people I can't stand. And yeah, sort of profound, because what Linus was really saying was he understood the difference between everybody and somebody. And when we say it's everybody, it usually means nobody. When it says somebody, it might be me. And that's what we need to recognize today. It's not about just about the whole world. It's not about mankind. Christmas is personal. It's about me. Knowing that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners won't save anybody. But knowing that Christ Jesus came into the world to save individuals and getting closer to home, that he came to save me, might actually be enough for me to want it. It will make all the difference in the world. Christ came to rescue us from our sin that has alienated us from God and that took away our freedom. Those were the 2 points that Keller made. Alienated from God and enslaved to sin. Took away our freedom. Christmas is personal. Paul realized that when he wrote these words that I said at the beginning. Didn't really seem like a Christmas message. Christ Jesus came into the world. Yeah, that's a good Christmas message. To save sinners. Oops. Have we gone a bit off beam here? No, because that's the point of Christ Jesus coming into the world. And Paul, as I said, made it personal, because what he then said was this: I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul personalized Christmas. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was shown mercy. Christ shows mercy to anyone who asks for it. Wouldn't it be an amazing Christmas if you met Jesus close up and personal for yourself? What a Christmas it would be if you were rescued from the slavery of sin, from being enslaved to things in your life, like work maybe, or achievement or success or love or travel, or security. What if the shattered mirror could actually be put back together again in your life? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? Do you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save you? That Jesus Christ came into the world to save me? Listen to Jesus' personal words to each of us this Christmas morning. I'm just going to put these words up, repeat them, and then finish. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, I am the gate, those who come in by me will be saved. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, then you will be really free. Jesus said, the Son of Man, referring to himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus said, those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who live and believe in me will never die. Jesus said, the world will make you suffer, but be brave, I have defeated the world. Peace is what I leave with you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. Are these words for you this morning? Jesus said, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. That's the message of Christmas. These words that Jesus spoke, that he's speaking to you and to me. The wonderful text that we have Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing good news that the Savior King, the one who came from heaven, came into our world as a human baby to save us, to rescue us from the effects of sin and from our sin. We thank you that he offers life, that he offers to take away our frustration and our emptiness and our purposelessness and our despair, and he offers to give us real love and real hope for the future. We thank you that he came to rescue us. May these words ring in our ears today and throughout the coming year. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Amen.